This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us here at Cradle My Heart Radio. It is a joy and a pleasure to carry out the mission that God has given us, preventing abortion and healing hearts after abortion, one story at a time. I know from personal experience the devastation that abortion can cause, and I also know from talking with hundreds of women and men that devastation isn't a word that always figures into everyone's story. I don't want to project my story onto anyone, because when we say one story at a time, we mean that. Everybody is so uniquely different. But the thing that we all need, and the thing that unifies every one of us, is the love of Jesus Christ. And I think that this is so apparent when we start talking about the adoption part of the equation, because as some have said, adoption is an option everyone can live with. And we want to talk with a birth mother on this episode of Cradle My Heart Radio, who has started a website called Talk About Adoption, and who really wants people to understand just what all is involved, and for awareness really to be raised of it. Callie Jett, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, tell us about your website, Talk About Adoption.
My organization is called Talk About Adoption, and we began about 2.5 years ago. And our mission is pretty much to bring a light to the option of open adoption for women who are facing unplanned pregnancies and who are abortion determined.
I see. And did that describe you? Was this a result of your personal experience?
Yeah, when I was 16 years old, I became pregnant for the first time, and I had a lot of pressure around me to have an abortion. My mom drove me to the nearest Planned Parenthood or abortion center, and I didn't know anything about the option of open adoption. And so the sidewalk advocates outside the abortion center were the very first people to tell me about the option of open adoption. And so after they told me about that option, I was able to get resources, and I stayed in a maternity home free of charge. And that also confirmed my decision that I couldn't parent. And I ended up placing my son with his parents through the option of open adoption.
Mm. So let's talk, first of all, there's so many things there that we need to know about, and we don't really hear a firsthand account of this. We may have heard one or two stories. We may have a media stereotype, but someone spoke with you on the sidewalk on the way to either get information or to have an abortion. Where were you on the continuum when this person had the conversation with you?
It's kind of funny how it turned out, because when I was inside Planned Parenthood, I was still abortion determined. But what really got me thinking is when I sat down and I saw a single brochure of a baby's developmental stages, and that's when I began to feel really convicted, and I started to really think about what I was about to do, because I was just listening to what everybody else was telling me to do around me, you know, that abortion was the answer. And so I definitely know for sure, looking back, that these sidewalk advocates were praying for me, because I got enough courage to walk outside of that abortion center and into the presence of them, where they were the first people to tell me, hey, you do have another option if you can't parent.
I've heard so many people say that I didn't want to encounter angry protesters. I didn't want anybody impeding me on my way in. You know, that isn't what happened. When people stopped to talk, it wasn't an angry protest, right? I mean, I really want to give you the chance to help us picture this, because I think it's a very different picture than a lot of people have in their minds.
Oh, yes, definitely. From what I can remember, when my mom was driving me into towards the Planned Parenthood abortion center, as we were pulling into the parking lot, I don't remember any of these supposedly protesters, what I call them is sidewalk advocates. I don't remember any of them being angry. I do remember my mom's reaction from seeing people outside the abortion center, which she wasn't too happy, but they were, from what I remember, very much peaceful, from what I remember when she was driving me into the parking lot of Planned Parenthood. So
sure.
I do remember a peaceful presence.
Well, and obviously a life-saving presence, and I think that's really mm-hmm. dear. And I wonder how you account for your heart being open to it. I mean, is this something that how did that change come about in your heart, Kelly?
I know that's pretty crazy, right? I only remember bits and pieces. I was 16, so that was a while back. So again, I know they were praying for me because I did get enough, after seeing that brochure, I did get enough courage to walk out and away from my appointment. And not only that, away from my mother that was still pressuring me to have an abortion.
Mm. And so how are things with you and mom now?
You know, before she passed away, they were good.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
That's fine. They were good, and there was a lot of emotions that we had resolved, a lot of forgiveness. She still had a different view than I did when it came to my choice of adoption and placing my child for adoption. But before she had passed away, we did have a lot of that that life situation squared away and resolved.
That's good. I'm so happy to hear that. And I'm sorry for your loss. May she rest in peace.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
You know, Callie, so here's the thing that I think a lot of people really don't understand. This very small percentage of women who will place for adoption, it's such a small number. Tell us about the context for this. Your decision's pretty rare.
You know, it is. It's rare when it comes to people who are choosing abortion versus adoption. You know, only 2% of women facing unplanned pregnancies will choose adoption, while 4 out of 10 pregnancies will end in abortion. So when you look at it that way, it is very, very, very rare. But what I am seeing, especially within the past 5 years, more and more women are choosing the option of open adoption, and more women will as time goes on and as our culture changes and our society changes, more and more women are going to be demanding more choices for their unplanned pregnancies.
Sure. How has it unfolded in your life in terms of your relationship with your child, with the adoptive parents? How does that work for you?
Well, you know, it's always been, since he was a baby, it's always been an open adoption. And so that's all he knows, and that's all I know. And we still have an open adoption relationship. He's 14 right now. He wants to be a pastor when he grows up. He's a musician. He's a straight-A student. As far as our relationship goes, it's pretty great. I'm very much close to his parents. I speak to his mother and father more than I do him. But, you know, as he gets older and matures, he is also becoming a little bit more curious. And so recently, within the past year, we have had a more open relationship, and we've been able to discuss the choice that I made over the phone, in my decision over the phone, a lot more than 5 years ago.
Sure. And I'm sure those will continue to unfold as he matures. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. these are things that as we gain new understanding, we gain new levels of curiosity and so on. I really appreciate you opening up your heart to such a personal story, Callie. And I have to ask about your son's dad. I think this is maybe a sticking point with many people when we start talking about mm-hmm. adoption or even open adoption, is that, you know, dad may have abandoned the child. Dad may not be someone mom wants anything to do with in the future. How to navigate that, or what advice would you give for someone who is feeling as if adoption is just not going to be something I can do because of the presence of this other parent?
Yeah, the birth father, you mean?
Right.
The presence of the birth father. You know, what I am also seeing is a lot of birth fathers are becoming more involved in the decision of adoption versus 20 years ago. Now, with my situation, and, you know, every birth mom has their reasons for placing, and every birth mom has a different situation. But with my situation, the birth father was completely out of the picture. And that's kind of how it was when I was placing too, and the women that around me were placing, they were kind of out of the picture. But what I am seeing, you know, like I said, there's a lot of birth fathers that are becoming more involved with the adoption process and the adoption decision. And there's agencies now, because of open adoption, it's becoming more common, that are embracing birth fathers as well.
Sure. Callie Jett is our guest. She is the founder of the organization Talk About Adoption, and we've got it linked at cradlemyheart.org. And she's got a beautiful page on Facebook with other stories of birth mothers and other adoption stories, and it's very, very encouraging. It's a beautiful ministry, Callie. And one of the things that I want to say about it is that, you know, as families are considering this and thinking about, you know, the forever options, I think that millennials have a really different view on this than people in my generation. I'm a baby boomer. And, you know, back in the day, if someone was 16, there were maternity homes. But it's like, oh, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, you didn't hear about maternity homes anymore. And it was kind of a shameful thing. She would disappear into the maternity home and come back, and there was a big gap in the story. But that's not really how it unfolded for you. It was really a very different thing. And I want you to maybe help us, bring us up to speed on maternity homes, because I think there's a lot of stereotypes and a lot of wrong ideas about maternity homes as well.
As you were saying, back in the day around the 1960s and before then, a lot of adoptions were closed, and it was a taboo situation. It was a hush-hush situation where women did go to maternity homes, they had the baby, and they came back into their home environments, and they didn't talk about it. But that's very much different now, because there is open adoption, which includes an open relationship between the adopted parents and the birth mother and the adopted child. So it's very, very much different versus the way it was when there was closed adoption and when nobody talked about it.
And I think that, you know, there's so much fear when there's a pregnancy, and you don't, not limited to teenagers, you know, women in their young 20s, as I was 23 when I got pregnant. But if you're not married, you haven't really launched your life, or even if you have, there's just fear around an unplanned pregnancy. And so if that fear dominates, you start listening to these voices. And sometimes people will even say things like, you know, you'll never finish school. You can't, you know, you'll ruin your life. These despairing ideas that a pregnancy is somehow, you know, a curse, that there's something awful that's going to happen. So talk about what it was actually like. So you went to the maternity home. You're 16. You go to the maternity home. Take us through that for somebody who maybe is listening right now. They know a young person who needs an option like this. What was that experience like from beginning to end, Callie, of making the decision to be in the maternity home and carrying it through?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't an easy decision, that's for sure. I do want people to know that. You know, when we say unplanned pregnancies, it's not an easy decision, whether we choose to parent or place. You know, parenting is hard as well. I know that right now. But, you know, adoption, what's great about adoption now is that we have that open relationship and we have open adoption. And now adoption works for the birth mom. So when I went into the maternity home, it was very interesting because a majority of the women that were at the maternity home were parenting. And I think it was just me and two other women that were choosing the option of adoption. And so it was very different. Facing unplanned pregnancy is is not fun either. But when as I was in the maternity home, I did have a lot of support in my decision. They had parenting and adoption classes that really helped me. And also, it confirmed my decision of adoption. The maternity home and the support that I had confirmed my decision that I couldn't parent and that adoption was the right option for me and my child.
Sure. Was it near where your parents lived? In other words, were you able to have continuity and stay at the same school, or did you homeschool at the maternity home? How did you work out the practical details?
Yes, I did. When I was in the maternity home, it was really awesome because the public school did work with me, and so I did homeschool myself through the 11th grade, and so that was great. And, again, I had a lot of support with my decision. Me and the women there, they had counseling for us. I just had a lot of support, and I'm really grateful for that too, because I can't imagine if I didn't. I know a lot of birth mothers, especially way back in the day when adoption was a hush-hush taboo, you didn't talk about it. A lot of these women didn't have those support systems or those support resources around them. So I just can't imagine. But this maternity home really, really helped me and the women out a lot with our decisions, whether we were choosing to parent or play.
Mm. And so, Kelly, let's talk about maybe some of the negativity that people are afraid of. I mean, did you get rejection? Were there, snide comments made? Sometimes people even will experience this in their church home. Did the decision, which I obviously celebrate with you, I think it's really brave. I schooled myself while growing a baby. That's huge, but sometimes it's the church that's pressuring women to abort. They're just uncomfortable with unwed moms being present in the church. Was there a negative backlash, or did you experience anything like that?
Well, when I was in high school, which I didn't have very good experiences in high school anyways, I hid my pregnancy. So I didn't tell anybody about it, just so I could avoid that as much as possible. Now, there were rumors, which were uncontrollable, but when I went into the maternity home, I also hid my pregnancy from my friends and those who did attend my high school, which is so I could avoid that. So I didn't get a lot of backlash or people, that were against me, faced an unplanned pregnancy. But when I was in the maternity home, there were women that were choosing to parent, and that was a little hard. I will admit, I did know that I couldn't parent, but it was hard watching these women that did have their family and support that to help them parent. And I didn't have very much when it came to if I were to choose to parent. I wouldn't know where to go. I wouldn't have a home. I wouldn't know where to start. I could barely take care of myself. So, that was a little rough, seeing that these women could parent and I couldn't.
Sure, sure. And I think I appreciate you being candid about that, because again, this isn't a problem that happens in isolation. I'm speaking to everybody here in the church, and we've said it before on this program that being pregnant is not a sin. If there was a sin, it happened well before the pregnancy, and that's an innocent life that's involved. And you will still, Callie, I will still hear people say, oh, I could never give a child for adoption,
Mm-hmm.
And they still haven't caught up on the language, which I hope you've been hearing Callie say, place a child for adoption, not give up a child. But you hear people mm-hmm. say that as if somehow abortion is a more loving thing to do. And mm-hmm. so I really, there's a lot of education that still has to happen, but there's also, I think, there's a courage involved. I went and did pro-life work in Russia a number of years ago, where there are as many abortions as live births. 50% of pregnancies mm-hmm. end in abortion in Russia. And the women, when they would come to tell you about it, to confess, would say, this is what they would say. They would say, I was a coward. right? Because mm-hmm. we placed our lives before the life of an innocent child. And I think that, you know, your story models for us that you don't, I don't know, you don't have to live with that. You may have to live with the sadness of not being with your child on a daily basis. You know, there are some things, as you say, it's been difficult, but there's, I don't know, tell me about the emotional aftermath, if you will, of, you know, how you have come to terms with the decision as you've matured now that you're, you know, you're in your 30s, it sounds like, right at 30, and you have mm-hmm. a family now. So how does it look emotionally as you look back on the decision now?
Wow. There's a lot of emotions that come with it. And every birth mom grieves differently. For me, I really kept myself busy. I went to college and, you know, I got into activities. I had goals. I always tell prospective birth moms, you know, you have to have goals. You can't sit in your house all day and cry about your decision. You know, you have to get out there. You know, serving also for me, I did a lot of, service work, volunteer work when I was in college as well. So that helped me as well. You know, a lot of birth moms grieve differently. For me, I responded in that first year when I was receiving photos and letters from my birth son's parents. I kind of cut that off because it was a little bit too much for me. I hadn't quite grasped the concept yet. So, but as a year later, as I did mature, I was able to contact my adoption social worker and let her know, hey, I want to open this relationship up a little bit more and, you know, get back into a healthy relationship with my birth son's parents. And so that's what happened. And ever since then, we've had a great relationship. But I say I did a lot of my grieving with my decision by just having goals and keeping busy, and also my relationship with God as well, my walk with Him too. And now that I'm a mother, I have realized that having a child doesn't just make you a mother. It does make you a mother, but that's not the only thing that makes you a mom. And being a mother myself, I know that, you know, it's a lot of work. You know, it's staying up at night with them when they're babies and, you know, breastfeeding or formula feeding and, you know, diaper changing. There's more to it than just giving birth to a child, which is a lot, which takes a lot. But there's more to motherhood than just giving birth.
So I think when fear replaces faith, we're much more likely to be able to do the right thing. What do you think, along with maybe, you know, doing some discipleship and some educating in the church, what do you think we need to do to move that needle and change those women's minds who are thinking that abortion is their only option so that we can move the needle, you know, and double the number of adoptions in the coming years, you know, triple, 100-fold. How do we reach women to let them know the beauty of this choice?
Wow, that's such a great question. Well, we can first start educating ourselves. I mean, even with me, when I started getting into, you know, the pro-life movement and seeing that these women that are walking into abortion centers, they have never even heard of the option of open adoption. I couldn't believe it. I have yet, my years of being out on the sidewalks have heard a mother say, oh yeah, adoption. I know what that is. I know what open adoption is. I researched that before walking into the abortion center. They don't know anything about it. So we definitely need to educate ourselves, those advocating for life and for loving this mother who is facing an unplanned pregnancy. They need to educate themselves on the option of open adoption and how to properly talk about it. As we were discussing earlier, you noticed that I was saying placing, not giving up. You know, how we talk about it and the words we say. So definitely educating ourselves on this topic, because we have to move away from the stigma. When back around the 1960s, when social workers would come into the hospital and they would literally take the babies away from the women, which is horrible, but that doesn't happen anymore. So we need to catch up with our culture and with our society. We need to catch up with reality when it comes to the option of adoption and how we're presenting it to to women who would never even think about that option.
Mm. So with just about a minute remaining, I'd like to give you a chance to pray for someone listening who may be facing a decision like this, to pray for those who are facing unplanned pregnancy or advising someone else who is in an unplanned pregnancy right now.
Dear God, we come before you right now, and I just want to thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to share my story. And if there are women listening right now and they are facing an unplanned pregnancy, they're scared, they're alone, they feel like they have no other option but the option of abortion, I pray that you will give them wisdom, knowledge, put people in their lives right now that will tell them about the option of open adoption and let them know that they are brave enough and they are courageous enough to make this decision if parenting is not possible. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. And God bless you, Callie. Really appreciate you helping
to
share your story and also to encourage others that open adoption is a beautiful plan. And now stay with us. Coming up on Faith Radio, we'll open up the phones for your calls, take a look at some of the top pro-life stories in the news, and phones are open at 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for being with us. This is Cradle My Heart Radio, and we're live, and our phones are open. And we had a little bit of a change, last-minute change in plans tonight, because we were going to switch gears and talk about some of the stories in the news this week. But after we posted about our interview with Callie Jett, we got a lot of response on our Facebook page, and so which is just at Cradle My Heart when you're on Facebook. And so we asked Callie, was she available to join us live and address some of the things that people were raising, some concerns and frankly some negative comments about the idea of adoption in general, even open adoption. And so we're going to do that tonight. We're going to continue the conversation, and we'll be endeavoring to get connected with Callie Jett in just a few minutes here. I guess, you know, I'm aware that there is an anti-adoption movement here in the U.S. And you know, it has to do, in my mind, with a need for reform. It has to do with a need for healing from people who experienced closed adoption. I think 95% of adoptions that happen today are open, where there is contact between the birth parents and the adoptive families and the adoptees, ongoing contact. And that hasn't been a panacea. I mean, there are still problems that can happen with adoption. Sometimes in some states, the agreement for an open adoption isn't legally binding, and people can not be good to their word, and that can cause a lot of heartache, as I'm sure you can imagine. But I wanted to just, you know, give Callie a chance to talk about some of the people who are detracting. Hang on one second here while I just try to get a note out to our producer. And so maybe you have a thought about this, or maybe you have an experience as a birth parent. Maybe you have an experience as an adoptee. Maybe you're an adoptive mom or dad. Our phones are open at 1-800-811-3003 as we try to get ourselves connected with Callie Jett, who was our guest and who's an advocate for open adoption. Her page is called Talk About Adoption, and that's her website as well. And she's a birth mother of 14 years in an open adoption situation and a very strong advocate for it. So 1-800-811-3003 is our number. 1-800-811-3003. I'm Kim Cotola, and this is Cradle My Heart Radio. There were some great stories that people shared as well on the Facebook page. And I should say most of the comments were extremely encouraging. We heard from a lot of people who were saying they were going to listen because, they were encouraged by Callie's story and encouraged preview of the interview. And so this was one of the stories that really struck me. Someone said, my husband was adopted at 2 days old. He was raised by a loving family, went to Princeton, University of Chicago, phenomenally wonderful and loving husband and father of our 5 kids. And she said, I give thanks for his birth mother's courageous and selfless choice to give her baby to loving parents who were so desirous of a child. I hope someday we'll find her and be able to thank her and have her see our family, which wouldn't exist without her. This is a victory. This is a great story. But the sensitivity that folks are raising would even include the idea that a birth mom is helping a family. Well, really, she's helping her child to find a family. It's not her obligation to help those adoptive parents. It's a subtle thing, but it can be a lot of pressure, apparently, on the moms before they make that decision. 1-800-811-3003. Let's go to the phones. We have a caller who wants to weigh in with a story, and so welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio. Thanks for listening. Hi.
No problem.
Is Christopher?
Yes, it is.
Hi. Well, go ahead, please. What's your story?
So I'm a birth son. Callie is actually my birth mother. She doesn't know I was listening calling in, but I just wanted to say, I just wanted to publicly thank Callie for all she's done.
Wow, Christopher, I have a friend, a very, very good friend who's adopted, and it was a closed adoption. He's never found his mom, and he wants to meet her very much. And when he talks about that, he says, I just want to thank her for giving me life. And it sounds like you feel kind of the same way about your mom, your birth mom.
Definitely.
So what do you think about the idea that there are some losses involved? I'll give you the chance to talk about that. I mean, maybe you feel different because you have two moms. Maybe, I don't know how you feel about that. What's it like being adopted?
Well, I think early on, as I got older, I started to learn that I was adopted. And my adopted mom actually is adopted as well. And she was adopted where it was closed, and she wasn't able to really have an open relationship with her birth mom. And I think it's been awesome for me to have an open relationship. And honestly, I don't really feel – it kind of makes me feel special, I think. I don't really feel different in a bad way.
Sure.
Adopted is kind of, it's been cool to learn, and I think it's a good choice for any birth mom.
Sure. Well, and it sounds like it's always been normal for you. This is what your family is, that Callie's always been in your life and your mom's always been your mom, right?
Definitely.
Sure. Well, Christopher, thank you so much for calling. That's just awesome. We've had a little bit of an issue getting hold of Callie, but stay with us and keep listening, and maybe stay on the line. If we can connect with her real quick, we may put you on together, okay?
Okay.
Hold on just a second. And Logan, let's go ahead and go to a quick break if we can, and we'll try to get our technical issues resolved and get Callie on the line. This is Faith Radio, and you're listening to Cradle My Heart. Kim Cattola, thanks so much for being with us. Our phones are open if you want to join us, too. 800-811-3003.
Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
Almost each one who answered said that they were not in favor of abortion. But we do need to reform, perhaps, some of the practices around adoption. And definitely, the big concern seems to be with the brokers and people who are middlemen and who are doing private adoptions and who may have a profit motive. We wanted to talk with Callie Jett about that. So we're going to take a break and see if we can't connect with her. And you stay with us as we do that. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.